Gravity had a good run, but it's time to feel the weightlessness of the Brooks Glycerin 21. These running shoes feature nitrogen-infused DNA Loft V3 cushioning. Brooks has even magnified the plushness to elevate the softness to new levels. And if you want extra support, find these same features in the Brooks Glycerin GTS 21. Learn more and shop now at brooksrunning.com. That's brooksrunning.com.
Good morning. It's time to get up with Packer possibilities. All signs point to Aaron Rodgers wanting out of Green Bay, but one former teammate says there is a way to bring the MVP back with the Pack. And after last season's collapse, the Steelers have decided to run it back. We'll explain how some tough criticism could be the key to Pittsburgh's season. Plus, Jimbo Fisher says his Aggies are going to kick Bama's butts next season. You've got to hear Nick Saban's classic response. That and a lot more as we get up with you here on a Friday. Thank you so much for joining us on a beautiful morning here from Pier 17 in New York City. I'm Ryan Smith, in for Greeny, and we have got a jam-packed show for you today. And take a look who we've got with us to break it all down. We got Graz, Jeff Saturday, Bart Scott, chomping at the bit, waiting to talk some football. The gang is all here, so let's go. But first, I want to start you out in the NBA because what a game it was last night. The Lakers, man, they are on the ropes. Let's go to the highlight. Anthony Davis and the Lakers taking on the Clippers. And I'll tell you, Anthony Davis, the injury bug started early. Just over 3 minutes into the game, Davis misses that jumper, and then watch him. Falls to the court. Trips over the video board right there. Now you watch it again. Shoots the air ball three right there, but then trips, falls, doesn't see the board. He finished 2 of 9 in the first quarter in the first 9 minutes. Didn't return for the rest of the game. Lakers called it back spasm. Just over 2 minutes left in the half. Clippers up by 21. Paul George nailing it right there for the corner three. Ballmer fired up. George had 24. And then under 4 minutes left in the third, Kawhi dominating, coming up with that loose ball. He had 15. Clippers blow out the Lakers 118-94. Here's AD after the game.
I know that. Spirit in the locker room was still high. I mean, guys came in after the game and said, put it behind us. We got down to the ball. So guys are still great with their minds and their spirit about, you know, the rest of the season. And you know, obviously, we're fighting for the playoffs. And tomorrow's probably the biggest game. That's the easiest game. So, you know, guys are still optimistic and we're still fighting. And guys' spirits are still high.
Okay, so the spirits are high, but are this team's playoff hopes? Starting tonight on ESPN against Portland, the Lakers have 6 games remaining on their schedule. They're favored in 4 of those 6 contests, but they only have a 56% chance to earn a top 6 spot in order to avoid the play-in tournament. Jay Will's with us now to talk about Laker troubles. Okay, so Jay Will, LeBron is banged up. Now Anthony Davis is banged up. On a scale of 1 to 10, in terms of really contending to win the championship, are you worried about the Lakers?
10. Whew. It's 10. And that's the reality of where we are. Truncated season. People thought LeBron James was going to load manage. Hasn't load managed. Now dealing with a high ankle sprain. That doesn't go away, man. You deal with that for the rest of the season. That only heals in the offseason after having multiple months to go to therapy for that. AD banged up. How is he going to handle? By the way, he still had that Achilles injury he came back with. Dennis Schroeder out for 10 to 14 days. 10 to 14 days for a guy that is probably your third leading scorer on this team. So, yes, you're worried about them. A big-time game tonight against the Portland Trail Blazers. They could be in that play-in scenario. They will be in that play-in scenario. And your first round, you're telling me you have to go against the Utah Jazz or the Phoenix Suns. I know those teams don't want to see the Lakers, but those teams at full health going against the injury-prone Lakers, they're going to smell blood in the water, and they're going to have home court advantage.
Now, if I told you both LeBron and AD would be close to 100%, what would that mean come playoff time? Would they still be your favorite to come out of the West?
Yes. If you're telling me that LeBron is trending at 80% and AD at 90%, they would still be my favorite. Because at the end of the day, LeBron James is the maestro that makes everything happen. He unlocks everybody on this team. We talk about greatness. Last year, he used the hashtag WashKing to stay motivated. He's been out. Look, he's been out for a month. He needs to be out. He needs to rest. But him coming back on an ankle sprain, high ankle sprain, if he's able to go through the Western Conference and then say he meets the Brooklyn Nets in the World Championship, if he were to go through the Western Conference, then Kevin Durant, James Harden, Kyrie Irving, like that catapults him into a different conversation. It does. He would have gone through the Golden State Warriors and the Brooklyn Nets. I don't think any other player in the history of game have gone through that loaded of teams.
And to win in a situation like that with what you're talking
truncated
about.
Truncated season?
Possibly with that ankle sprain lingering into the playoffs. We'll see. Okay, so given LeBron's age, all the wear and tear that he's been through, how worried are you at him getting another crack at the championship?
I'm always worried about LeBron James, but I'm not betting against him. I've said this before. Look, people can say whatever they want to say about me and LeBron James because I've made statements about, you know, back in the day, comparing him a little bit to Scottie Pippen, just mentality-wise, before he became more Michael Jordan,
right,
a leader, right? Even if it was like, hey, Michael Jordan would never say things like, I'll never be 100% in my career. That's fine. You can come at me with all that. I'm not betting against this dude. This dude is unique. He is one of one. He is different. If there's anybody that can come back off a high ankle sprain and play through a truncated season and still win a world championship, it is number 23, and that's not MJ, that's LeBron James.
Wow.
He's built for it.
I got to tell you, let's put it in context, by the way. The stakes high for this game against the Blazers. If they lose that game, the world champs would, at this moment, end up in the play-in tournament. Imagine that. Jay Will, thanks so much.
Thanks, Will.
Let's go back over to football, and it is by far the biggest story in the NFL. Aaron Rodgers wanting out of Green Bay. So yesterday, one of his former Packer teammates, John Kuhn, offered this insight into the situation in Green Bay to the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Take a listen to this.
If I use my business, the football business acumen, and see the tough spot that the Packers are in right now with that first-round pick that they used last year on Jordan Love, that's what makes me pull back a little bit. I still think it's somewhere around 70-75% that Aaron Rodgers is the starting quarterback for the Packers this year.
Okay, interesting comments. Let's bring in Dan Graziano, Bart Scott, and Jeff Saturday. Dan, I saw your face right there. What's the latest in the situation with Green Bay?
Well, they're still in Green Bay, they're still working toward ideally a possible solution that does bring him back. How realistic that is, I mean, John Kuhn wants to put that at 70-75%. That's higher than most people that you talk to right now would put it, but Green Bay still thinks the fences can be mended. The question, of course, is how. So far, contractual remedies have not worked. At this point, the Packers also have to figure out what to do at quarterback if Aaron Rodgers is going to stay away. They haven't had any trade talks. They're telling teams that they're not interested in trading him. Jordan Love's the only quarterback on the roster. They're kind of exploring the veteran quarterback market, whether they sign someone, whether you make a small deal for someone like a Gardner Minshew. You know, those things are all possible for the Packers as they continue to try and work this out.
Hey, you have to figure they got to go into training camp with at least more than one quarterback. So, Jeff, you ended your career in Green Bay. How do you see all of this playing out?
The Packers eating crow and getting this contract done. That's how I see this thing happening. Listen, football is a relationship business. I don't care what anybody else gets up here and says, it's about relationship. And the quarterback and the front office of your organization have to be in sync. And what the Packers did to Aaron a couple years ago, it was just disrespectful. I don't care what anybody says, it's hurt feelings. And so what do hurt feelings do? They continue to grow and manifest in this kind of attitude. You could think Aaron's whining. You could think, hey, he should do this, he should do that. But at the end of the day, he had an MVP season last season, and the relationships have to be fixed. Who's the olive branch have to be reached out? It's got to be the Packers. They have to continue to go back, get this long-term contract signed by, or an extension signed by Aaron, so that everything gets put back in order. They are not going to be the same team with Jordan Love and him sitting on the bench, and the distractions this will continue to cause in their locker room will be brutal if this thing continues to play out.
See, Jeff, I think it's a really good part. And Bart, I want to ask you about this. Jeff just mentioned this is a relationship business. So let's say the Packers does offer him a huge extension, making him one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league, all that good stuff. Do you think the relationship is in a good enough place, even with that, for Aaron Rodgers to want to come back?
Not at all. Listen, it's a thin line between love and hate. And when somebody's, you know, heart's broken, you can't fix that with money. Aaron Rodgers has money. You can't offer him. You can't buy his love. What happens is when you feel disrespected, I think he waited for an entire year to show the league that he was still able to play at a high level and arguably the best football that he's played his entire career. He's done more with less. This team has not appreciated Aaron Rodgers and has not surrounded him with the weapons that he's needed to be great. Now, listen, they don't have an obligation to tell Aaron Rodgers, hey, we're going to select your replacement, but they have to be transparent. It's about communication. It's crazy how Jimmy G, the two-time Super Bowl champ that has as much to do with the championships of U of I on this telecast, got the respect from the San Francisco 49ers to let them know what they were doing going forward at the quarterback position. Aaron Rodgers says, listen, I'm done. And you can't mend that with money. It's funny how we're finding all his teammates. You know, Brett Favre's in a tree stand somewhere. We got Jeff here today. Coons on air. Listen, Aaron has to understand that he's going to have to get his hands a little dirty to be able to get his wishes and get out, because they can't lose Aaron Rodgers without getting proper compensation.
Okay. Aaron's got to get his hands dirty. Now, we were talking about compensation, and Dan, you brought something up in the meeting that I just really had to get to. You had this interesting idea that the Packers may have an interest in Rodgers sitting out, and there's a consideration here of possibly retiring. Tell me about your financial concern you have there and just a question you have about that.
Well, the dead money hit if they traded him right now be up around $38 million. Even if they trade him after June 1st, they'd be able to split that up over this year and next year. If they did nothing, right, and he just didn't show up, they wouldn't have to pay his salary. They could get his roster bonus back. They would actually save more in terms of cap relief and cash if he doesn't show up and if they don't trade him. So that's got to be a factor in their decision-making as well. They did draft Jordan Love in the first round last year, so theoretically, he's a guy that they believe in for the long term, and possibly they could get him ready. But it's worth watching to see how hard they dig their heels in, especially if his stay is dug in as they seem to be.
Okay, so in that mindset, it would seem like it would make more sense for him to retire from a financial perspective than for them to trade him. Could you imagine that? Well, we'll keep talking about Aaron Rodgers here. We got a lot more. What you got there, Bart?
Two words, James Harden. Come in out of shape and not ready to play. Don't pay attention to the playbook, and they have to pay you anyway. We watched James Harden pull the same stuff, man. I'll show up, pay me my money, I ain't doing nothing.
Hey, okay, hey, listen.
Go ahead.
Hey, there's a saying in football, you've retired without telling them you've retired, right? I think Jerry Jones made it famous. Hey, the Packers don't want Aaron, to Bart's point, to be retired without telling everybody, man. Like, don't give him the hammy, the calf, whatever soft tissue injury you have. You got to be legit when it comes to that. So what Bart's saying, that's real.
Yeah, if you say it, you got to mean it. All right, guys, we'll have more of Aaron Rodgers in a little bit. But coming up, a longtime teammate of Big Ben had a lot to say about the Steelers this week and seemed to take aim at one particular player. What he said, and is he right? Coming up. And then Aaron Rodgers, we're going to talk about him some more. He's often compared to Brady and Manning. But we've got a former teammate to explain how the future Hall of Famer has always taken his own path.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back now on Get Up with the game of the night in the NBA. This was a good one. The Nets visiting the Mavericks. The Nets looking to snap a three-game losing streak and stay in contention for that top spot in the East. The Mavs hoping to avoid the play-in in the West. Check out KD right here. The great fadeaway. Under four there, but KD had 20 in this one. Mavs ensuing possession. Luka taking it right to KD. For the lay-in, Mavs going up by 7 at that point. Still 1:15 to go. Kyrie bringing it up and doing his thing. Laying it in, plus the foul. He'd make the free throw. He had 45 in this one. 4-point game at that point. Ensuing mass possession. Luka, again, taking it to KD. The fadeaway jumper seals the deal. Doncic, 24 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists. Mavericks, winners by 4. Now, Philly, as of this moment, sits atop the Eastern Conference with a 2.5 game lead over the Nets. The Bucks, 3 back at this point. But I tell you, it's still a tight battle out there. Our basketball power index gives the 76ers a 96% chance at this point to earn the 1 seed. Back now to football. Former Steelers offensive tackle Alejandro Villanueva, who signed this week with the rival Baltimore Ravens, had some very interesting comments about his former team. Take a listen.
For us as an offensive line in Pittsburgh last year, it was incredibly challenging that we knew we had to go with these game plans that involve passing the ball potentially the entire game. And so the mentality, you know, when you have a balanced offense or when you run the ball, it's obviously better for the offensive line. I'm assuming it's not as fun for the wide receivers because they're not getting all the catches. They're making the TikToks and they're having fun on their social media.
Ooh, shots fired. That's what it sounds like to me, Jeff Saturday. As a former offensive lineman, though, what do you make of Villanueva's comments?
He's preaching. He is preaching to the choir, man. I love to hear it because he is being as honest as possible. You cannot go into an NFL game being one-dimensional. I don't care how good you are. It is mentally taxing and really physically exhausting because all you're doing is receiving, right? You're backpedaling. You got defensive linemen running TEs, ETs. They're getting rib shots on you. Man, they're bull rushing. They're becoming the aggressor and physically bringing it to you as opposed to when you're balanced, you can at least tee off on these guys. They have to respect the run. They have to respect their read keys, where they're going to fit in the defensive scheme. At the point when you're throwing it 40 or 50 times, man, it is exhausting, and you can't be productive. So to his point, I think he's telling you, you know, you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers defensively, they're this physical team. They're going to get after you, speed, power, explosion. You look at their offense, and it's we're going to throw it 45 or 50 times. That doesn't complement each other, and I think he understands that. He's just letting the world know that's what it really feels like. Again, mentally taxing, physically exhausting to sit there and pass block time after time when the defense knows what you're doing.
See, I like that you said that because so often we don't talk about what offensive linemen are going through, right, Jeff Saturday? I'm trying to be on your page here with you. But
that's right.
Bart Scott, look at Bart.
Oh, they have feelings.
So Bart, then I'll turn to you. I have to ask, though, he's talking about doing TikTok videos. Kind of feels like a shot at Juju. What do you make of that?
Kind of feels like a shot. Let me tell you something. His key code will never work in the Steelers building ever again, right? Some things can't be undone. He crossed the bridge and threw a grenade on the other side. And all of a sudden, oh, my God, linemen have feelings. Well, get in better damn shape because guess what? You're 11-0. You're 11-0 with that style. Listen, you have to win certain ways, right? When Jeff Saturday was in Indianapolis, he understood that their defense wasn't any good. So they had to put up points and try and get a big lead so their defense can do the one thing that they can do, and that's rush the passer. That's how they were able to win. They didn't have a running game. They didn't have the personnel to run the ball. So what did they do? The pass was an extension of the running game. I don't want to hear about your complaining. You're supposed to be a military man. It's no crying in football. Get in better shape. Nobody cares because you're getting rib shots. You guys give rib shots out all the time. Boo-hoo. Guess what? You're going to be running all the time in Baltimore. You're not going to be pass-setting. So how about that? You're going to be firing off and being over-aggressive, and I hope you don't pull a hamstring.
Bart Scott taking it easy this morning, having a nice calm Friday. Dan, let me have you jump in here because, Dan, look, there was a situation at the Steelers. It seemed like he wanted to come back. They didn't want him back, it seems like.
Yeah.
So is that what you're seeing here, a little bit of that creeping into this?
Well, sure. I mean, I'm sure these guys can talk to it as well. I mean, better than I could, but I haven't met too many players that really ever fully forgave their former team, right, for not wanting them back. You always seem like you have a little bit extra when you play. Then I'm sure Alejandro Villanueva, who did, you know, try and get the Steelers to bring him back, they weren't able to come to an agreement, will feel a little bit of extra juice when he plays Pittsburgh this year twice with the Baltimore Ravens. But, yeah, I think, you know, looking at the Steelers, talking to people about their draft, it's just people are wondering if this is all fixed. Are they going to be able to run the ball? Did they do enough with the offensive line? Is Najee Harris going to be a difference maker? I think there's a lot of questions about that team going into this year.
Yeah, and Jeff, I want to ask you, you had an interesting story when we talked this morning about playing against the Colts when you were with the Packers. Tell us about that, please.
Oh, yeah, listen, to Graz's point, he's speaking truth as well. He and Andre, listen, when I was with the Packers, my second most painful loss from the Super Bowl was losing to the Colts. We had a huge lead at Green Bay. We go in and we end up losing this game. It was absolutely brutal. I mean, listen, the Colts did everything right, gave me a great little deal up on the Jumbotron, the whole deal. It still hurts me. I still wanted to beat them. There's still some saltiness. Now I obviously love the Colts, but back then, man, you do. You want to pay them back. And back to Bart's point about running the football because he's trying to hate on my O-line. When we won the Super Bowl, Bart, we ran it all over New England. We ran it all over the Bears. That's how you win Super Bowls. Villanueva understands that. You can't win them all by throwing it 50 times. He's preaching. You just got to open them ears and listen.
Oh, you guys talked to you. You noticed you didn't mention the five field goals you had to kick against Baltimore. The only time Rex Ryan lied to me, said if they don't score a touchdown, they can't win. And you won with five field goals. You just skip over that game because we held you guys down. That still hurts me to this day. Five field goals. And you lose a playoff game.
How many yards did we rush
for? I'm sorry. Transmission. I can't
hear. Over 100, fellas. Talk about running.
It was fell less than
right
200
into the trap. O-line opened it up. Got him again.
It was less than 200 yards.
Don't worry. We'll get back to this. Don't worry.
Hey, hold on.
Don't worry, gentlemen. There you go, Dick. Don't worry, gentlemen. We will get back to this. There is a lot more. Trust me. And by the way, you only get one chance to make that first impression. Now that these star players have reported to camp, who are you most excited to see? That and a lot more coming up on Get Up. But first, a little sneaky hembo time for Dan Graziano. Dan, here you go. Which NFL team has used the fewest starting quarterbacks over the last decade? The fewest. Think on that, Dan. I'll be right back.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Back with you on Get Up in a little sneaky hembo time for Dan Graziano, who's thinking, researching, maybe reading the internet. Which NFL team has used the fewest starting quarterbacks over the last decade, Dan?
The integrity of this contest is too important to me. I do not cheat. Ever. I was all set to say the New York Giants because I feel like they've only used four, but then I remembered Russell Wilson was drafted in 2012, so I'm going to go ahead and guess that the Seahawks didn't use more than three starting quarterbacks the year before that. I'm going to guess Seattle Seahawks.
And you are incorrect. Incorrect. It's the Falcons.
Oh, now Matt, see, that's
Ryan,
very good.
Matt Schaub, he got you. Look at Hembo, what a triumph.
He did.
But you're still leading him. Uh-oh. Look at you. You're trouncing him.
It's getting close, though.
My producer, you know what? Nick Cialo, our producer, is saying it's getting tight. You know, this is Hembo's job, and you're still beating him by two. So I got to give it up to you, Dan. Sorry, Hembo. I love you, man.
I appreciate
it. All right,
you.
We're back to our biggest story in the NFL, Aaron Rodgers. And look, our guys give some great opinions on this show, but yesterday on Get Up, here's one we wanted to highlight. Ryan Clark shared an interesting opinion when discussing how long he thinks Aaron Rodgers may play in the NFL. Well, listen to this.
When we spoke about Peyton Manning, what was it? It was about how cerebrally he approached the game, his study, right? His work, his dedication to the sport of football. We never talk about that with Aaron Rodgers. Maybe there's something that goes on in that building that says, you know what? Once he's not one of the best throwers of the football we've ever seen, then his love for the game, his dedication for the game isn't the same that allow him to play till 45.
Now, it's interesting because he's not saying he doesn't feel that way. He's saying we never talk about that, which he thinks is interesting. So, Jeff, I wanted to start with you because you played with both Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers. What do you think of Ryan's comments?
Well, I think he's right in the comparison. We don't talk about him the same way, right? Because when you look at Aaron Rodgers, it's not about how he approaches the game. It's about the talent that he has in his arm that separates him from Manning, Brady, Breeze, like all those conversations that he's having about being so involved in the offseason and scripts and, you know, what is this going to look like. Aaron Rodgers is not that guy, right? That's just not his personality. He's very laid back in his mindset. But don't miss the point. This is a competitive son of a gun, right? He'd rather step on your neck than lose at a game. So no matter what he's playing, this guy wants to win. I can give you some great stories, right? Being in the huddle, Mike McCarthy would call in a play. He'd give you the eye roll. I mean, he'd be like, oh, my, what a trash call or whatever it was in his head. And then he's going to go out and prove that he can do the play, right? To say, whatever you stack up against me, I'm going to make the most out of it. That's his mentality. So, you know, don't kind of tie in the whole, hey, it's a beautiful mystery and it's all these kinds of things. This guy's got some nastiness about him. It doesn't come out the same way as Peyton, Brady, and Breeze, but he still has that same competitive nature. Again, it's which way you like it. Do you like that type of mentality? Peyton would look back at you if he had a bad call. We ain't doing it. Give me another play. Let's go. Give me another play. Let's get this thing going. Aaron's not that guy, but they still have both been competitive in the way that they approach the game.
So, Bart, looking at that, and I know, look, we'll just say it right here. They're obviously incredible players, all of them. Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, right. Anybody would love to have them. But on your team, based on what Jeff just said, how these guys are, what kind of quarterback do you want on your team? When you're looking at a guy like Aaron Rodgers, who it looks like Green Bay is going to, if they offer an extension, maybe they offer him the most of any quarterback in the NFL at this point.
Greatness comes in every shape and size and every personality type, right? You got your rah-rah guys, you got your vocal guys, you got your cerebral guys. And listen, Aaron is probably somewhere in the middle, but I think it does hurt him at some point. The fact that he says, okay, you want to run it? I'm going to show you that you're dumb and you're calling the wrong stuff. Because, like, that hurt him in a championship game. Because he should have said, I ain't coming off the field. I'm going to run this play on fourth down because I'd rather have the ball in my hands than put the hands in the defense to get 3 points when we had the soon eventual champs on the ropes. But I tell you what, Aaron Rodgers has a tremendous amount of time left. I think we look at him the wrong way. I think we look at him as a 37-year-old quarterback, and when, in my opinion, he's only 34 because he didn't play his first 3 years.
Yep.
So he still has a lot of tread on the tires, and that's why I believe that Green Bay picked too quickly because they're looking at his age and not the wear and tear on his body and on his arm.
It's a really good point. Dan, I have to ask you, as we look at Aaron Rodgers, and look, he's got Jeopardy, he's got other interests in his life, but obviously a great quarterback, loves the game of football. Could you see him, if he doesn't get his way here, saying, you know what, I'm going to take my time and coming back, I'm going to step away until I get what I want?
Yeah, the comparison people are using is what Carson Palmer did with the Bengals years ago, right, where he retired and until such time as they finally decided he wasn't coming back and they traded him. So we don't know how far Aaron Rodgers is willing to take this. We do know he's got more than enough money and as you mentioned, possibly other options for things to do with his life. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, I think the Packers are looking at it. Last year, they had a 36-year-old quarterback that was coming off two, by his own standards, kind of down years, and they had a quarterback in Jordan Love that they really thought highly of, so they made that move, thinking that at some point they'd have to make the switch. He said after the season, maybe I threw a wrench into their plans. Seems pretty clear that he has, and everyone's fascinated to see how this turns out.
And, Jeff, you play with Aaron Rodgers. Is he the kind of guy who's just going to say, look, I'm out, man, if they don't give him what he wants, meaning, like, they don't trade him to where he wants to go, he's just not going to play.
Yeah, I think he is that kind of guy. I don't think he's at that point right now. And to Bart's point, I think he would become much more vocal about saying it himself, right? like we're all kind of prosecuting, you know, we're all saying, hey, we're trying to make this decision for him. He'll come out and say, hey, I'm not going to do this unless. He'll draw the line in the sand. I don't think he's there yet. I think he's trying to leave them a bridge to cross to get this thing done. I think he wants to stay in Green Bay. I think he knows it's his best chance to win. He doesn't want to cut his nose to spite his face, right? He understands he has something in this from a legacy perspective as well. I think both sides got to come to the table. I think the Packers have to stretch further.
Okay, the saga continues in Green Bay, and at some point they're going to have to find some way to figure this thing out. All right, guys, stay right here because I want to talk to you about other quarterbacks. I'm talking the rookies because on Thursday the Jaguars released that. Photos of Trevor Lawrence wearing a Jags uniform for the first time during his visit to TIAA Bank Field. Now, Jacksonville made Lawrence the number one overall pick in last week's draft. And he was the first of five quarterbacks that went in round one. So, guys, it got us thinking about the rookies in this class. I want to talk to each of you about which rookie you are most interested to watch on his new NFL team. Jeff, I'll start with you.
I'm going Justin Fields with the Bears. Listen, you got Pace and Nagy. It might be their last season, so they're going to go all in, right? I mean, to me, this was the second best quarterback in the draft. And I know everybody told me differently, but with my eyes, that's what I see. I'm excited to see what he can do in Chicago, what kind of mentality he brings to this offense. I think, listen, it's going to be a tough job offensively, but they have a good enough defense to keep you in games. You score 21 points, you got a chance to win a bunch of them with the Bears. I like his chances of doing that. I'm excited to see him play. I think he's the most exciting to hit the field early.
Graz, who you got?
Yeah, that's a good one. I'm going to stick with the quarterback. I'm going to go with Trey Lance in San Francisco because the whole time we were leading up to the draft, one of the main reasons I was having trouble and some of the people I was talking to were having trouble embracing the concept that Mac Jones would be the pick was the idea that Kyle Shanahan is looking at a guy that can maybe elevate his offense beyond where it's been. And I think that's why Trey Lance ended up being the pick. I'm fascinated, and a lot of people I talked to are fascinated, to see what kind of plans Kyle Shanahan, the great play designer, the great play caller, has for this quarterback who's unlike any he's really ever had before. I think once Trey Lance plays, it could be a lot of fun for the 49ers.
Bart, I have a feeling you're not going to go with a quarterback.
Yeah, Captain Obvious is right here with the quarterbacks. I'm going to go with the best linebacker in the draft and arguably the best defensive player in this draft. I'm going Zavian Collins. Zavian Collins right here is a throwback to Urlacher. He's also a throwback to, I believe, Luke Kuechly. He's the most dominant defensive player that was in this draft. He can affect on every single aspect of the game. He can blitz. He can play great pass defense, and I think that's exactly what they needed in Arizona. Because you look at it, traditionally, you know, Isaiah Simmons is not a traditional linebacker. This is your thumper. This is your captain. This is the guy that's going to get lined up. And this is the guy that's going to impact the league and going to take it by storm. And in short order, he'll be one of the best linebackers, if not the best, in short order. We see Devin White. We saw David, you know, dominate the Super Bowl. He's next in line.
All right, rookie mini camp, just a week away for some teams, a little bit longer for a couple others. Fans can't wait to see these guys take the field. All right, thanks, guys. I want to take up to running the bases now. Great games last night in the majors. Shohei Ohtani continues his hot streak with his 10th home run of the season. However, the bullpen couldn't hold on to the lead, and they lost it off a wild pitch in the eighth. The Rays would win 8-3. The Angels have now lost 5 straight. And despite another home run by Giancarlo Stanton and a pretty good outing by Gerrit Cole, Jose Altuve would have the last laugh on his 31st birthday, hitting that 3-run homer right there in the eighth to help the Astros lead the Astros to a 7-4 victory over the Yankees. And then there was this surprising news. The Angels officially designated Albert Pujols for assignment, a formality, before he becomes a free agent for the second time in his 21-year career. All indications are that Pujols wanted to keep playing. He has 1 year remaining on his 10-year contract. And boy, look at his career numbers. 667 homers in his 21-year career, fifth most in MLB history, 29 behind A-Rod for fourth all-time. He also ranks top 15 in hits, RBIs, and runs. Well, coming up, Tom Brady says he'd trade some rings for an undefeated season, and Gronk believes there's still a chance. We're going to ask our experts if they'd bet on the Bucks to run the table this season. You're watching Get Up.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger?
Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Back with you on Get Up, and we are talking some NFL with who is going to win more games this season. We ask our experts, Jeff Saturday, Bart Scott. Jeff, Cowboys or Washington, who wins more?
Ooh, it's a tight one. I'm going to go Cowboys here, though. I think Dan Quinn brings a lot of value to that Cowboy defense, keep them in games. Dak Prescott being healthy, I think he obviously comes back. That offense was on an insane pace before he broke his leg. So I'm going to go Cowboys, but it's going to be tighter than people think. Washington football team is going to be legit. I think the Cowboys just squeak by.
Okay, Bart, Browns or Ravens, who wins more?
This one pains me, but I'm going to go with the Cleveland Browns. I think the Cleveland Browns has had the best offseason. I think they're the most complete roster. The issue is, can Baker Mayfield be better and more efficient than Lamar Jackson? Right now, I would say probably yes, but if Sammy Watkins can keep them feet together and keep them twinkle toes going, I think with the addition of Bateman, I think it's going to be close. It's going to come down to the wire, though.
And Jeff, let's talk Super Bowl. Bucks or Chiefs?
I'm going Kansas City Chiefs here. When you look at the Chiefs and what they've done from an offensive line perspective, this might be Veach's best offseason. He's put together this offensive line. They can absolutely protect. When you see how good this offense can be, as good as the Buccaneers can be, I think the Chiefs here have the better option.
Okay, that is music to their ears. Consider what happened in last year's Super Bowl. And by the way, speaking of the Super Bowl champs, can we talk about this? Earlier this week, Tom Brady said he would trade 2 Super Bowl rings for 1 perfect season. So, Wednesday on Greeny asked Rob Gronkowski if he'd make that trade.
I don't want to trade in any because I think there's a chance, in my life to be on a team like that. So I don't feel like I don't have to trade in any Super Bowl rings. So I see in the future that I have a chance, to be on a team like that. So I ain't trading any rings in. I just got to keep going for it.
So Gronk thinks it can happen. Jeff, what do you think of Gronk's comments?
I disagree on both counts. Look, if I'm Gronk, I'm giving one up for an undefeated season. The only time I've ever been mad at Bill Polian was when he pulled everybody against the New York Jets when we had the chance. We ended up losing the Super Bowl that year, but I would have done that, no doubt. As far as going undefeated, I do not see it happening. Listen, as good as you are to carry this thing 20 weeks, 17 regular season games, just don't think that's possible. As good as the Bucks look on paper, you got to play the games week in and week out. I don't see it happening, so I disagree on both counts.
So, Dan, certainly there's a possibility, right? Don't you think?
I ran the numbers. This is the percentage chance that the Buccaneers go 20-0. This right here, it's zero.
Wow, that's a pretty fancy
zero.
Computer
that's
you have there. Nice.
Error is zero. Look, you can't – I mean, 16-0, we remember the 16-0 Patriots, right, from 07. That's as good a team and as dominant a team as we can remember in our football lifetimes. They couldn't finish it off. Like, it is, and now you have to win an extra game. So, no, I don't see it. Look, the Buccaneers were a very good team last year. They got incredibly hot in December and January and won the Super Bowl. They'll be a Super Bowl contender again, but the NFC is not a pushover. I mean, there are very good teams in the West. The Saints are probably still going to be tough in the South. Look, 20-0 is – I think the Buccaneers could repeat. I don't think they will. I think they could. 20-0 is just too much to ask.
Okay, so Bart, there was a man who once said, so you're saying there's a chance. Are we just dumb and dumber when we say that?
Yeah, I think we're being really dumb and naive to think that a bunch of guys that are full. The good thing is they brought the whole squad back. The bad thing is they brought the whole squad back.
Yeah. Right.
It's going to be tremendously hard to keep that focus for 17 weeks. Everybody there is hungry. They're going to be doing local commercials for Popeye's Chicken, the local grocery store. Everybody's going to be eating. And they understand they're going to have the target on their back. And I don't even believe that they're going to be the representative for the NFC. I think the best team in all the land in the NFC is the Los Angeles Rams, and we're not talking about it, but Matthew Stafford, I think, is a sneaky, sneaky pick for the MVP. You give the number one defense and you give him a deep threat, and you give him Matthew Stafford, the league is going to find out how great and how special he was, just how dysfunctional of an organization the Lions are. That's why they're over there biting kneecaps and Achilles and getting knocked down over there with Dan Campbell.
How do we get on the Lions?
I don't know. But now we will move on.
I'm from Detroit.
There you go. All right, but now we got to move on to something great. Guys, I got to tell you about this from the college game. Jimbo Fisher, well, he took a playful shot at Nick Saban during an appearance at the Houston Touchdown Club on Wednesday. Now, you know you say all the good things to boosters. So according to the audio obtained by the Houston Chronicle, Fisher was asked what it would take to beat Alabama other than the retirement of the 69-year-old Nick Saban. And here's what he said. We're going to beat his bloop when he's there. Don't worry. Eventually, that's going to be us. I respect everything they do and how they do it. But we can do it just as good or be just as good or better, and we will. And Nick Saban responded, listen.
In golf?
I think he meant on the football field.
Well, I'm sure there'll come a day, you know. But is that what he's talking about? Football?
He was talking about football.
Oh, he was? Well, he used to be on my noontime basketball league, I guess. You know, we're no longer partners.
That is my favorite comment of the day, other than linemen have feelings. That's why we had to bring in Paul Feinbaum to talk about this. Paul, what is your reaction to that?
Well, I think Jimbo Fisher is smarter than all of us. I've heard all of the commentators up and down the dial say, oh, that was stupid. You don't poke the bear. What difference does it make, Ryan? Jimbo Fisher has met Nick Saban four times as a head coach, one at FSU and three at A&M. He's lost by 23 points. What's Saban going to say? Well, I'm going to beat him by twice that? I mean, that's absurd. And don't forget something else. Jimbo Fisher is paid, he's got a $75 million contract, and he's speaking in Texas where he works. You don't go up to the podium in Houston, Texas with your head down and your tail tucked and say, no, we can't beat old Coach Saban. No, you say exactly what he said. He has already won in this round.
And he has certainly won in Texas. So, Bart, what do you think?
I mean, listen, I love the swag, right? I came here to the AFC East with a coach that said he didn't come to kiss Bill Belichick rings. So, listen, you don't come in here. You don't go in the Lions Den and sneak in. You go in there screaming and chanting, and you look for the banshee. Listen, and understand, after Jimbo said that statement, he passed a collection plate around, and he said, I need some tithes and offerings for the congregation.
That's right.
He was able to raise some money there excite some people in the crowd. That's what it's all about. Who cares what Nick Saban says and about his response? You know it was coming, but he was able to get some money and get some swag for his program and some attention because we're talking about him here.
See, I kind of love that. But then, Jeff Saturday, I also think about this. They're going to be talking about those comments over and over again late. It's going to be billboard material in Alabama. Is he poking the bear in a way maybe he shouldn't have?
Absolutely. Listen, sometimes you got to be a spy, dog. Slide in quietly and then take your wins. Don't go in there making everybody upset. This thing will be on their bulletin board from tomorrow until the end of the season, man. Like, understand what you're doing. I get he's down in Texas. He wants to get rowdy and get all the boys to give money and do all the things that Bart and Paul are saying. All that is true. But, hey, listen, getting there is one thing. Staying there is another thing. When he talked about golf, that's Saban's, that's the biggest shot you're going to see from Saban. When that man put that on you, I absolutely love it. That was a fantastic comeback and reply. But don't poke the bear, man, till you know you're ready and you're armed and his back is turned to you. Now you got him facing you. You don't want that action, boss.
So, Paul, can they become, Paul, can they become the next Alabama, as Jimbo is saying? Can they do that?
They most certainly can because, first of all, Jimbo has already won a national championship. Nick Saban hired him at LSU as the offensive coordinator. He tried to hire him again when he went to Alabama, but he couldn't pull it off. Jimbo Fisher is an elite coach. He's one of the top five coaches in the country. And Nick Saban, okay, everyone thinks he's invincible, but he does turn 70 on Halloween. He can't do this forever, and someone ultimately is going to beat him if he keeps doing this. And I think Jimbo doesn't really care. He lost by 28 points last year in Tuscaloosa, and he still nearly made the college football playoff. They finished fourth in the country. He has nothing to lose at this point.
That's right, but let's just remember, when
hey,
they
Jeff,
go up against
hey,
each
Jeff,
other—
the-
Yeah, when they go up against each other, no former Saban assistant has ever beaten Nick Saban. Let's see if Jimbo can at some point become the first. We shall see. All right, guys. Want to talk about a fight? Our UFC Fight Night tomorrow from the Apex in Las Vegas. It's another exciting card. Our women's main event features Marina Rodriguez facing off against Michelle Waterson. The prelims start at 5 Eastern on ESPN Plus, followed by the main card at 8 Eastern on ESPN and ESPN Plus. To get ESPN Plus, you just go straight to ESPNplus.com or you download the ESPN app. All right, Aaron Rodgers, will he stay or will he go? We'll talk Aaron Rodgers and his future, whether it's in football or not, as we head into the next hour of Get Up.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.